Welcome, Seekers. Tonight, the Hurricane Spectacular continues.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Tonight, Chapter 3, Let's Slip the Dogs Away!
In the death, as the last few corpses lay rotting on the slimy thoroughfare, the shutters lifted an ancient temperance building high on Poacher's Hill, and red mutant eyes gazed down on Hunger City. No more big wheels, fleas the size of rats sucked on rats the size of cats, and 10,000 peopleoids split into small tribes, covered in the highest of the sterile skyscrapers like packs of dogs assaulting the glass fronts of Lovney Avenue, ripping and re-wrapping mink and shiny silver frocks, now leghorns, family badge of sapphire and cracked emerald, the gear of the diamond dogs.
The day of reckoning is upon us!
Abandon all hope, you who enter here.
Jumped all over me back in 1992 in that hurricane. I heard somebody in there yesterday yelling from all those buildings, blaming the president for this or that. He's tough and he can take it and he's doing the right things here.
This is history in the making.
This is genocide. The deliberate and systematic destruction of all life on Arrakis.
You're right on that.
We have been abandoned by our own country. Hurricane Katrina will go down in history as one of the worst storms ever to hit an American coast, but the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina will go down as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever in U.S. history.
I feel your misery, its weight bids me to weep, but what of things to come? Tell if you can the divided city's fate and of the citizens. He answered,
Hundreds of thousands of my constituents have been uprooted from their homes, and possibly thousands of lives have been lost to the wrath of Hurricane Katrina.
We're taking it hard all the time. Why don't we pass it by? Just reply, you've changed your mind. We're fighting with the eyes of the blind. Taking it hard, taking it hard, yet we feel that we are paper, choking on you nightly. They tell me, son, we want you. Be elusive, but don't walk far. For we're breaking in the new boys. Deceive your next of kin, for you're dancing where the dogs decay. Defecating ecstasy, you're just an ally of the Legion. Locator for the Virgin King. But I love you in your funky pumps and your nimble dress that trims. Oh, dress yourself, my urchin one, for I hear them on the rails. Because of all we've seen, because of all we've said, we are the dead.
After long argument, they must ascend to bloodshed, and the rustic block, with much offense, will expel the other first.
And that's happening as we speak.
Are you coming, son? Is somebody coming? And she said, yeah, Mama, somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday, Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. Nobody's coming to get us.
Come on. I've been in my attic. I can't take it anymore. The water is up to my neck. I don't think I can hold out.
We're doomed.
I can't breathe. Sister, please.
Please, somebody.
Help.
Why isn't anybody doing anything?
That thing won't die, man. It just won't die.
5 days in this motherfucking attic. Can't use the cell phone. I keep getting static. Dying because they lying instead of telling us the truth. Other day, the helicopters got my neighbors off the roof. It's cool because they said they're coming back for us, too. That was 3 days ago. I don't see no rescue. See, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Since God made the path, and I'm trying to walk through. What? Swam to the store trying to look for food. Corner store's kind of flooded, so I broke my way through. I got what I could, but before I got through, the news said police shot a black man trying to leave.
Fire!
We missed.
I told them never to point their guns at people when they're loaded.
Yeah. I hate the way they portray us in the media. See a white family, it says they're looking for food. If you see a black family, it says they're looting. It's been 5 days.
And I am telling you right now, they're showing all these reports of people looting and doing all that weird stuff, and they are doing that. But people are desperate, and they're trying to find food and water.
If you believe you can come in here and wreak havoc, get ready, because we're prepared, and we're not going to let you turn this into a lawless town.
It's too doggone late.
We're doomed. We're doomed.
What the hell are you doing?
Duh, trash in the hotel room.
Totally awesome.
It's happening way too fast.
they've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
Son of a bitch!
In a thin, high pitch, the boy yelled,
"Looters will be shot."
The warning matched a message spray-painted in 2-foot letters on the front wall. Looters, beware.
I'm not a looter.
We had looters night after the hurricane. They got our TVs and CD player. My dad's toolbox, too. I'm supposed to shoot the bastards they come back.
Just be careful, all right? You don't want to hurt the wrong person.
My dad said he's gone booby-trap everything, so next time they'll be damn sorry.
George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like...
Meaning, asked the president.
The challenge is placed before you.
George got very nervous.
Will you turn your singular talents to saving the world, or will you simply turn your backs on your fellow man?
Oh, come on, man.
Why don't I just change my name back to Hitler?
George said, shrugging.
Oh, how could you?
I will...
What did you say?
You're turning your back on the future.
And, that's reality.
And we're not afraid of it, are we?
You stand before the man with the word.
Who's he?
I don't know.
Wherever there's a crowd, I will be heard. Babble, 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 babble. That's the way I rouse the rabble. Chitter, chatter, chitter, chatter. Hear me rave about the matter. Mutter, 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 mutter. Hang on every word I utter. Beloved listener, you stand before the man behind the tongue. There's the hot air of expression in each lung. Glory, 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 glory! To my splendid oratory. Jibber, jabber, jibber, jabber. Every word I say is a grabber.
Line up, sign up, and re-enlist today.
But though my talking's an attraction, you won't find me near the action. Though I'm listened to and trusted, those who listen all get busted. Though no talk was ever truer, I'm a talker, not a doer.
We're doomed, we're doomed.
Standard systems analysis in half a day. Well, what's the hang up, gentlemen?
We already realize a lot of the people that could help are at war right now.
It is important to remember that there are more than 300,000 National Guard soldiers and airmen who are not deployed overseas. And they're available for relief and security efforts in the United States should they be necessary.
And you know what?
What?
We're not going to allow it.
Why?
Because
we have the forces, the capabilities, and the intention to fully prosecute the global war on terror while responding to this unprecedented humanitarian crisis here at home.
Conrad Channel, this is a Class 1 emergency. All civilian traffic is barred from streets and highways. Those found without specific military orders are subject to summary execution. Stay in your home.
Martial law is now nationwide.
This will be a monumental struggle of good versus evil.
Great, a wannabe preacher with a gun.
But evil will prevail. Thank you very much.
We can and will do both.
You're our new flood control chairman.
with time, we'll do all in our power to help you.
Therefore, what is this? Why should you hold back? Why be a coward rather than bolder?
Why are you letting my husband die?
I haven't decided. Let's have a drinky poo.
You're just like your papa.
Dad wouldn't dream of risking his neck unless vast sums of money were at stake. Love, loyalty, and honor weren't part of the dope smuggler's creed. Dumping bodies is like buying real estate. Location, location, location.
It's funny because it's true.
Well observed.
But George's father wanted to talk about something else when his son came to see him. He wanted a favor. You remember Pat Robertson? He owes me a piece of a shipment. The answer is no. Come on, G. I got lawyers to pay. Take Leaker and Ape along. They'll handle Pat. Not the money, though. That I want in your hands only. Dad, I don't 2 or 3 degrees to the north, and we're in business. Dad, I don't believe this. Grown man hanging out with guys called Leaker and Ape. Watch your tone, son. Look where it got you. Gee, I'd love to keep strolling down memory lane, but the guard says we're out of time. So will you do it? Pathetic. What? I said you're pathetic, so I'll take that as a no. You won't do this for me. Jesus Christ. You disappoint me, boy. And I'm proud of you too, Dad. I bust my buttons every time your name comes up. He's hopeless, my old man. A son looks a man square in the eye and calls him pathetic. Pathetic. Any other father would curse or cry or take a punch at the kid. Not mine. By God, not when there's drug money he's collecting. He won't learn. He'll get out of prison and go right back to it. So how about it, G? F*** him, thought George. Not because of what he'd done or what he'd been hauling, but because his stupid, selfish greed had outlived the crime.
And why don't you try keeping your mouth shut, boy?
George, you should be ashamed of yourself.
She ain't really my mother.
George saw his opportunity.
Pushing an audacious plan.
If you aren't sure how to help, I've got a good place to start. My call tonight is for every American to commit 4,000 hours over the rest of your lifetime to the service of terrorism. And I thank you.
Oh, you poor dumb son of a bitch. You've done more damage than you know.
Do you think he's the mastermind?
It's possible. At minimum, we believe he has some connection to this terrorist group.
What kind of terrorist are they? Do they have a political agenda, or are they just after money?
We're trying to determine that.
Everything is being determined, analyzed, or looked into. When do we get some answers?
What I'm saying is the top of the totem pole did not answer the fire bell. They heard the fire bell. The fire bell was ringing so loud it had to pierce their ears.
There's no phone ringing, damn it!
There is no phone.
But nobody got in the fire trucks. Nobody loaded up the axes and the hose. Nobody came.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Where does the buck stop in this administration?
The president.
How can one ordinary man have so many enemies?
Because.
Because of the wonderful things he does.
Now you mean to tell me that a place where you probably have thousands of people that have died and thousands more that are dying every day, that we can't figure out a way to authorize the resources that we need? Come on, man.
See, they don't understand America. They don't understand us. We're understanding more about ourselves as a result of what went on.
Americans are a caring people. We are a good people, a generous people.
A little people, a silly people.
Greedy, barbarous, and cruel.
We are Americans.
What did you say to the President of the United States?
It needs to come somewhere like New Orleans with all of its force immediately, without red tape, without bureaucracy. Act immediately with common sense and leadership.
Yes, sure. You've got to be kidding.
What are you going to do?
It's got to be able to come in and save lives. We need strong leadership at the top of America right now. in order to accomplish this.
You're on a trail. I keep forgetting that.
Exactly. The guy's either incredibly stupid or he just doesn't care. You picked up on that, too. It's scary. Why? Because I want to put a clock on this jerk. See how long it takes before he tries to screw me. So what do? 10 grand's 10 grand.
What is that supposed to mean?
You know, I'm not one of those drug addicts. I am thinking very clearly. And I don't know whose problem it is. I don't know whether it's the governor's problem. I don't know whether it's the president's problem. But somebody needs to get their ass on a plane and sit down, the two of them, and figure this out right now.
We discussed that in very plain and straightforward terms.
Why didn't you stop him, Bob?
This is ridiculous.
What did you say to the President of the United States?
Lying piece of sack of shit, slut trash can, scummiest dirtbag, bitch!
Oh, we can't have a flood without the mayor.
Who'd you say that to?
Everybody. Governor, you know, Homeland Security, FEMA, you name it, we said it. And, well, I'm probably going to get in so much trouble it ain't even funny. We gave the president unprecedented powers, and this knucklehead president is taking advantage of this lawless situation, and they are doing some awful, awful things. And right now, they're looking for something to take the edge off of their Jones, if you will. They don't have anything to take the edge off, and they probably found God, and we don't have the manpower to adequately do something.
Okay.
George said, shrugging.
I mean, I'm just trying to help you out.
Next time, a burning cross.
Something you did.
Something I didn't.
Then the hurricane blew in, and he just had to go see.
This message from FEMA Recovery Radio. FEMA's Director Michael Brown, along with Bush, viewed hurricane damage this afternoon from a National Guard aircraft.
Well qualified by the American Bar Association.
Help!
Help! Help us!
It's awful down here, man.
The president is going to continue his efforts to unite this nation to work in a bipartisan way.
He's a very fine and friendly person. I'm sure he didn't see you girls.
He saw us all right. I'd like to kick his superior balls in.
Please! What did you say to the President of the United States, and what did he say to you?
All kind of goddamn, excuse my French, everybody in America, but I am pissed. I basically told him we had an incredible crisis here, and that his flying over in Air Force One does not do it justice.
Can't they understand that we're on the verge of anarchy?
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, the air conditioning must be good, because I haven't had any in 5 days. And maybe there's some smoke coming out of the air-conditioned units that's clogging, you know, their vision.
Oh, yeah, but... And if the whole family can't bring him down out of that... That's...
Hunky paradise, brother.
Forget the old ways, brother. All your hatreds, all your pains. Forget. And remember, the family is one. But him, that thing...
It's politics, man, and they're playing games, and they're spinning. They're out there spinning for the cameras.
Meanwhile, this is for you, Mother.
Intruder detected. Calling local police.
And just when the man's all ready to take our picture.
That scene says a lot about America.
Wake up, Uncle George!
Uncle Joe, oh, don't disturb them.
We won't!
All right.
How do you say useless in Texan?
George hadn't been able to move from his yellow sheets until almost noon, and then it had only been his mother's violent pounding and screaming that had awakened him.
I want you to know something. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
His face was crumpled and freckled and ugly without silliness. Out of his face stared two light blue eyes, frustrated now and turning, or ready to turn, to anger.
George got out of bed and went to the backyard to round up two roosters, which he took to the garage for beheading.
My chicken is the star of the show.
He hoped the sacrifice would be favorably received. After a short scuffle, the deed was done. George dripped the warm blood into a plastic pail filled with pennies, bleached cat bones, and turtle shells. The pail was placed at the feet of a ceramic statue of Chango, the saint of lightning and fire. Kneeling in beseechment, George raised his blood-flecked arms toward the heavens and asked Chango to please strike Pat Robertson dead as a f***ing doornail for screwing up the scam. George wasn't sure the ceremony would work. He was relatively new to the study of Santeria, and characteristically hadn't bothered to research it thoroughly. The president had begun dabbling in the blood practices when he first learned the authorities were investigating him for bribery. Several cocaine dealers of his acquaintance swore that Santeria worship had kept them out of jail, so George figured there was nothing to lose by trying. All he really wanted was the ability to put curses on his enemies. Lethal curses. God bless me, he said with a dark chuckle.
Bush began to clean his bloody hands on the twins. The pile of guts was a black blob of flies that buzzed like a saw. After a while, these flies found his runnels of sweat and drank. They tickled under his nostrils and played leapfrog on his thighs. They were black and iridescent green and without number. And in front of Bush, the Lord of the Flies hung on his stick and grinned.
I'm just a harmless, lovable little buzzball.
At last, Bush gave up and looked back, and his gaze was held by that ancient, inescapable recognition. In Bush's right temple, a pulse began to beat.
Bush don't fight black people. I got a Bush don't fight black people. I got a
But nobody seems to have a sense of urgency. Now the mayor's been reduced to crying. I guess Bush said niggas been used to dying. He said, I know it looks bad, just have to wait. Forgetting folks were too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I bet he had to go and check on them refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross, but the fact remains that George Bush ain't a gold digger. But he ain't off with no broke niggas.
Then my escort led me by one hand to Bush.
Busy day, huh?
No, we're having a meeting. Come and join in.
Bush, both breathing in vain through bitches.
Who's this then?
Michael Brown.
He knows that, anybody who...
Michael Brown's the director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
The watchdog of public safety. Is there any lower form of life?
He's also the Undersecretary of Homeland Security for Emergency Preparedness and Response.
I pride myself in being a good watchdog for my constituency, sir. Letters, phone calls, polls.
And then, perhaps because his breath began to fail him, he stopped and hunched against Bush as if to make himself its bitch.
I appreciate that very much.
I don't care what they call me, Brown said confidentially.
It's nothing personal, it's just the year of the dog.
And we're constantly working with him, cutting off money, where we find money flows. And the government has been acting.
The dog simultaneously rolled over and began squirming like worms on a griddle.
If it feels good, do it.
As he received the reassurance of something purposeful being done, he began to look satisfied, and his only clean digit, a pink thumb, slid into his mouth. He could go step by step inside that fat head of his. Only Bush was no chief.
Maybe so, but I owe him a favor.
It's a waste of time!
If his goal was simply to annihilate the world, he would have done it a long time ago. He sent out a personal invitation to his party. If the guests don't show up, the party can't start.
I shall have to turn you into a dog for a while.
Thank you, but...
Dog Manning's tweaking walls, crawling down the alley on your hands and knees.
disturbers, monstrous, cruel, bark, dog-like in the souls of mercenaries, louder for his crippled throat, his eyes are red, beard grease black, as the belly of a meat feeder, talons on his hands. He claws the horde of spirits, he flays and quarters them in the rain. The wretches, howling like dogs where they are mired and pelted, squirm about again and again, turning to make each side a shield for the other. Seeing us, Cerberus made his three mouths yawn to show the fangs of his reptile body of quivering energy. My leader, reaching out to fill both fists with as much as he could gather, threw gobbets of earth down each voracious throat. Just as a barking dog grows suddenly still the moment he begins to gnaw his meat, struggling and straining to devour it all, so the foul faces of Cerberus became, who thundered so loudly at the souls in hell they wished that they were dead.
Well, I fully understand people wanting things to have happened yesterday.
And that's why I've asked President Clinton to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
First of all, don't play politics with it.
And why don't you try keeping your mouth shut, boy?
Behind, eager as greyhounds off the leash, black bitches tore his limbs apart, and then they took the wretched member away.
Did I want my members? No, absolutely.
We all know this is an agonizing time for President Clinton.
I thought he was going to die laughing.
My
master stood and thrust him back off, saying, back to safekeeping among the other dogs.
You can't take that personally.
It's not personal.
Sarcastically toward the dogs and said,
I'm thrilled and honored. The dog seems to be thrilled and honored too.
Hey, Chihuahua!
The president nodded.
Well, you want to do something else?
I got some blow.
Son of a bitch, took you this long to tell me? Break it out, man!
Secretary of Partying Down!
But as soon as he did...
George, look what you've done!
So what? The president said, his shoulders bunched, like I'm supposed to know.
Let me say for the record that although he showers me with gifts, Mike is not paying for my company. I resent all rumors to the contrary. Mike and I are both very wealthy, popular men. I don't need Mike's money any more than he needs mine. This is a difficult concept for a lot of people to grasp. People who are perhaps envious of what Mike and I share.
Bacon, donuts, so.
In such poor taste.
The dope smugglers didn't share George's paranoid worldview, but they admired his life-or-death style of fundraising and hoped to pick up some pointers for J.B. Stoner. Outside, the volume of doggy racket increased by many decibels. The dogs are tied outside. They're not bothering anybody. You got dogs? Where? Said the hooker. Just take off your clothes, the president said. Where's the stolie?
They sounded adorable. What kind?
Fertilizer hounds.
Fertilizer hounds?
When I get done with them, yeah. That's the only goddamn thing they'll be good for. He raised the pistol and fired twice at the infernal yowling. One. Two.
He shoot up the list of undisclosed locations and we couldn't find Dick.
So you shot a hole in the ceiling. Damn straight. Then he smuggled the two wiener dogs in a laundry bag up to his room. It was marginally better than all-night movies on cable.
Hi, welcome to George W. Bush. Gone wild. Hi, you'll never believe what we caught him doing behind the White House doors. Well, live, uncut, George W. like you've never seen before.
Man, I know there's got to be some man rifles on our cams there somewhere.
We'll take country in the blink of an eye. Anything we want, we get. All
is all.
The
whole.
That's all ours. Ha ha ha. The best of George W. Bush gone wild.
Thanks a lot, Daddy. Thanks a lot.
And now, for a limited time, get the best of
George W. Bush, Cornwall.
Shoot, it's only for a limited time, so you gotta get the best of George W. Bush. Oh, wow.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is a national disaster. That's they thinking small, man. And get their asses moving to New Orleans.
Come down, Bush, come on, come down. 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 George Bush ain't a gold man. Don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. Come down, George, come on, come down. Come down, George, come on, come down. Come down, George, come on, come down. Come down, George, come on, come down.
Ooh-wee. You be real welcome, man. Drag your ass over in a couple of days. We give you the finest service in the house.
George saw his opportunity.
We'll do everything that is humanly possible. We shall succeed.
But they'll stop at nothing either. They'll try to kill you.
Well, I've never hesitated to risk my life for my country.
What on earth are you talking about?
But let's get down to the field and examine that wreckage.
Time to go.
As it happened, though, madness flowed rampant in the storm's wake.
Ugh, what a mess.
Hey, what the hell you think you're doing?
Waiting, the man replied. For what? Turn on the radio, the man said, if you don't mind.
Click.
A news report announced that the President of the United States was flying to see the storm damage firsthand.
Boring. Let's watch something else.
2 months later, George Bush waded into Thank pollution you, politics to visit the suffering shoreline.
You're talking to President!
Troubled waters became part of the presidential pain.
He started it all.
Get him!
Bet you didn't think hurricane duty would be so hairy. What's the craziest thing you've seen so far?
The President of the United States trying to hammer a nail into a piece of plywood. Took him at least 9 tries.
You saw the President?
Yeah, we had motorcade duty.
Did you see Brown, too?
They were riding in the same limo.
That's all from the site. Back to you, Mark.
A news clip of the President of the United States touring the hurricane damage.
George, it's over.
What?
Yeah, it's done.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just got your messages, and I'm sorry.
George, it's been over for a while.
Really? So I'm way late. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
At his side was a tall, boyishly attractive man in his 30s.
Michael Brown, the director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
I'd have to leave if this tacky charade continues.
We discussed that in very plain and straightforward terms.
George worked his jaw like a steam shovel. His eyes were shot with pain and hangover. He shrugged unhappily.
The press is having a field day over the news of my relationship with Mike. We tried to keep it a secret, but for Mike and me, there can be no privacy. Number one, we're good copy, and number two, we just look so damn good together, so perfect that everyone wants pictures. Charlton Heston and I are finished, and he's hurt. Mike is very angry at Charlton right now. Very, very angry.
Oh.
Mike and I would gladly give everything we've got in exchange for a little privacy. We would be happy living in a tent, cooking Franks over an open fire on that plot of land we bought just outside of Reno. Mike and I are that much in love. It is unfortunate that our celebrity status does not allow us to celebrate that love in public, and the just good friends line has stopped working.
And maybe he was too much of a good young Republican to pick up some hot girl in a bar and get raunchy.
Oh, yeah, right. Whatever you say, pal.
Talking to President!
It's the same story on every channel.
Is this deja vu?
Put the power to him, brother. Just a little nitro. I can get the cannons out of the old guard armory. We can have him out of there in no time.
I said no. We could. But then the curse would begin all over again, don't you see?
Yes, I see. I see him living high in the light while we rot and hide like grubs. See, brother.
He will be destroyed, brother. He will. But not by guns, not by machines, not by the evil, forbidden things. The tools that destroyed the world.
Never happened, baby.
You see, I know something you and the Duke don't know. We only got so long before Mr. President doesn't mean a whole lot.
Just as I thought.
He didn't come down to the family and to judgment, down to punishment for his blasphemies. Here is the instrument of cleansing, my brethren.
You can't be serious.
Meanwhile,
at a makeshift tent city, which the National Guard had erected for those made homeless by the hurricane.
The president has been strong. The president has come to our area.
He really here?
He was in Mobile. He was in Biloxi, Mississippi. He was in Poplarville, Mississippi. No president has ever walked the damaged streets of Poplarville, Mississippi in the history of this country.
That is true.
And let me tell you, I saw his eyes. I saw compassion and hurt and tears. And I saw passion.
Run, boys. Get the room.
And I saw leadership.
No way. You were just kidding, right?
Sure.
Men and women sprawled listlessly on army cots. Dull-eyed teenagers waded barefoot through milky puddles. Children clung fiercely to new dolls handed out by the Red Cross. At the front of a ragged line, guardsmen gave out plastic bottles of Evian. The pewter sky filled with a loud, thwacking drone. People in the Evian line pointed to a covey of drab military helicopters flying low. Quickly, a procession of police cars, government sedans, black Chevy Blazers, and TV trucks entered the compound.
Ah, our commander-in-chief.
Five Secret Service types piled out of one of the Blazers, followed by the president.
It was open house, so the man with the yellow hat had come with George.
You came here thinking you would save the world. But it's too late. Sorry. I don't really give a damn what happens to the world. It's all the same to me. I just came here to pay back a favor I owe ya.
The students and their parents arrive.
I hope nothing unsavory happens during my visit. As you know, I am the President of the United States.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. President.
Here, George, the man said. I'll be right back. Wait for me, George. Don't get into trouble.
Okay, George said, shrugging.
He waved toward the television cameras, then compulsively began to shake the hands of every National Guardsman and Army soldier he saw. Peculiar behavior might have continued until dusk, had not one of the president's many aides whispered in his ear.
Mr. President!
Don't touch me, goddammit!
You call that a punch?
At that point, a family of authentic hurricane refugees, carefully screened and selected from the sweltering masses, was brought to meet and be photographed with the president.
I'm thrilled and honored.
You goddamn thief.
So, it's the thought that counts.
But we need help.
Who the hell was that? The wife?
Yes, it was.
What is today's topic? Boob jobs gone bad?
Yes.
This is an outrage.
George should have signed off right there, but grace and decency were never his strong suits.
Well, I can't think of nothing else to do. Skin them like pigs.
Included in the family was the obligatory darling infant, over whom the leader of the free world labored to coo and fuss. The photo opportunity lasted less than 3 minutes.
Okay, you get what you want.
I appreciate that very much.
Just give me the water.
Happy.
After which, the president resumed his obsessive fraternizing with anyone wearing a uniform.
Pito likes to bring his sister to every event. Five sisters, well. Only one of them yelled.
These unnatural affections were extended to a snowy-haired officer of the local Salvation Army, around whom the commander-in-chief flung a ropey arm. So, he chirped at the befuddled old-timer, what outfit you with?
Cowboy scumbag.
Yes,
Pathetic. Check the glaze in his eyes. There's nothing worse than a Republican on Halcyon.
I agree, said Mr. Williams, and he gave George a big gold star.
We're beginning to understand more about sacrifice, personal responsibility.
Tell you a secret, I'm sure to fall. My dog runs a while I blame you all. Your information saying safe, safe, safe. Turn off my collar and mix with dark. And it's hard to breathe. And it's hard to breathe.
But here come the mob, shaking their fists in gratitude.
You racist bastard!
Fall to your knees and be grateful for my benevolence, George said.
That's
bull, man. There's nothing good about what you do or who you are.
Keep your mouth shut, huh? George said. Now I helped you out. Maybe you can do the same for me.
What? Oh,
he's truly mad.
Drop him on somebody. Everybody getting their ass blowed up.
You'd better help me clean up, George, he said.
George lowered his eyes in a pantomime of shame.
All right, let's do this. Let's kick some ass.
You're lying.
Maybe he's not.
I know him. Look at his face. He's lying.
George took his packages and started to slouch away.
I ask their continued patience as recovery operations unfold.
Wait a minute.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
And off he went.
Exploring the demolished remains of a mobile home park, George was a happy fellow. There was a bounce to his step. Thanks to the guard, the highway patrol, and the county police, George was free to plunder. And what he spied made his greedy heart flutter with joy.
Stay out of our medicine cabinet!
You got any more of them Darvons? George said.
He pocketed that.
Give that back!
Oops, too late.
I thought he was going to die laughing.
Let's roll.
And then the plane took off.
Now everybody's wishing they could all be just like you. Then sell their souls to do the things you've done. And they love to hear the stories of the two wars you've been through. But you know you never fought in either one. Captain Sad on the ship of fools. I think you should look down, 'cause your paper ship is soon to run aground.
Suddenly things turned ugly.
Tell this to the workers when they ask where your leader went. We, the soldiers of the National Liberation Front of America, in the name of the workers and all the oppressed of this imperialist country, have struck a fatal blow to the racist police state.
What better revolutionary example than to let the president perish? In a human dungeon of his own imperialist prison. The bosses of the free.
Unlock the pod. She's bolted the door.
Can't you shoot off the lock?
No, sir. She's pressurized the cabin.
How about lifting the door off of the hinges?
No, sir.
You guys plan it that way? George had asked. Plan what?
Yes. He's right here, Mr. Vice President.
Yes,
David 14, acknowledge.
I prayed for a crash or a mid-air collision. Anything.
What would you do if you were in an airplane and the wings caught fire and the engine fell off and you were losing altitude?
Listen, I just...
Life insurance pays off triple if you die on a business trip.
Coach coming in, sir.
It's too late. All your imperialist weapons and lies can't save it now. We're going down. We're going to crash.
David 14, acknowledge.
Bush screamed.
And then the plane went down.
David 14, acknowledge.
Meanwhile...
You pinstripe barbarians! Have you heard and drawn and quartered and whipped and drop you in a little pit until
Don't bother, there isn't time! Get over here!
And I'll jump on them! And I'll carry on jumping them until I get blisters! I can think of something even more unpleasant to do! And then I'll... What the hell's that?!
Quick! Over here!
What the hell is it?
What do you think it is? Quick! You've got to get hold of this rock!
I don't think I can cope with any more of this! I think I'll just go and have a little lie down somewhere!
No! Just stay here! Keep calm!
And nothing was ever the same about the way George saw the world or his place in it.
Call me. without a doubt, the worst episode ever.
Hey, I know it wasn't great, but what right do you have to complain?
As a loyal viewer, I feel they owe me.
What? They've given you thousands of hours of entertainment for free. What could they possibly owe you? I mean, if anything, you owe them.
Worst episode ever.
Well, gee, that's too freaking bad, because I about worked my left butt cheek off putting this one together. Ah, hello, Seekers. It's your perverted prayer partner, the Reverend Susie the Floozy here, and... oh, and it looks like the way I'm going, I'd better buy myself some time, because the next installment of my Hurricane Spectacular is gonna be a bear to put together. And there you go, Seekers. Chapter 3 of my Hurricane Spectacular, entitled Let Slip the Dogs of Wah! Oh, and I cut it there because what I was saying on that show was certainly old news. Mainly because Chapter 3 was done way back in October of 2005. In fact, it was Bob Slacktime Funhouse number 600. Hey, this was so early in the game for me that the storyline was still gelling in my head. And frankly, there were so many different sources used for George's voice in this episode that even I was confused, but... after all, as I said here some 260 shows ago, I'm looking at two or three more episodes before this hurricane cycle's played out anyway, so...
Ouch!
Hey, back then I had no frickin' idea it was gonna become this kind of a monster. And right now, Seekers, I'm laboring hard to wrap this up while the whole thing unreels, and... if I can keep it down to 17 hours, it's going to be a miracle. But it's too late for hindsight at this point because we're on one effed up leprechaun trip here. Next week, the real hell kicks in. So strap yourselves in, Seekers, with the big red straps. You know, the ones that you can't chew through, because this is going to be a rough ride. And you know, if I were you, I'd be thinking about getting right with Bob about now, because that couldn't hurt. Yes, you know Bob. He's as close as a stamped self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118. Or if you're the lazy type, and I know that you are, there's always subgenius.com. Till next week, Seekers, good night.